Well, let's wrap up a bit of what we wanted to discuss in Hebrews chapter 12 here, and then I'd like to share a couple of things that have been a tremendous encouragement, just by the way of people's own testimonies in their own lives, some of the things that have touched them and have touched others. I'd like to move on down now in our reading to verse 11, Hebrews chapter 12, verse 11. Now, no chastening seems to be joyful for the present, but painful. And nevertheless, afterwards, it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. And again, our Father, we pray now that we might just be able to enjoy these precious truths from your word in our lives. And we want to give you the glory tonight. And thank you again that your Holy Spirit is working and you're performing a great work. And it's a powerful and a mighty work. And, oh, Father, we pray that our hearts and our spirits would be stilled like the psalmist said, that he quieted his soul and he quieted his spirit in your presence. And he gleaned the beauties of your person into his life and the principles of your word. And so, Father, we too would ask in the same way, Father, fill us with your word. We ask it in our Savior's name. Amen. This verse, again, was something that God used in my life when I was a very young man. I'll just share this in a brief way of testimony. I'd like to share it in light of some of the things that we go through in life. As I said last night, we have expectations of way that we want things to go, and some of those expectations are good and they're proper. We should have those goals. But sometimes our expectations are not always in line with what God has in mind. And it's hard for us to come into an understanding that God is adjusting and shaping and changing those expectations around so that we see what he really has in mind. And I remember, for me, this is the way God led in my life. When I was in school, and this is just me, you have to bear in mind, this is not the way the Lord moves in everybody's life. But I remember when I was in Washington, Georgia, there were two men that came up to me, and this was right after I had graduated from Bob Jones University. They came up to me and they said, "John, we hear you want to be in full-time work." I said, "Oh, yes! That's what I want to do." So, they grabbed my arm, and I'm not kidding you. These were two men, they were 6 months apart in the same year, came up, and they grabbed this arm right here. When the second guy did that, I wondered, this has got to be some kind of a conspiracy, because they grabbed this arm right here almost to the point where I was feeling cramps. It was that tight. They looked at me and they said, "John, here you want to be in full-time work." I said, "Yes, I do." And they said, "So did we." And then tears streamed down their face. And they looked at me and they said, "We had children and we had families. And our advice would be to you, John, you let God push you into full-time work when he's ready. Let him push you and let him make it clear to you. You get a job and you go to a local assembly and you invest your heart in that flock and you let God work in your life and build you and push you to the point where if he wants you in full-time work, it'll be obvious and you'll never turn back wondering, you know, did I do this thing or did God do this thing?" And I remember hearing that counsel. Now, this is for me. Again, this is not for everyone, but this was for me. I remember striving against that counsel in my heart and struggling against it. And the more I thought about it, and the more I tried, the more the door shut, and the Lord shut everything down. And the long and short of it is that we moved back out to Tulsa, Oklahoma. And in that process of moving back to Tulsa, Oklahoma, I said, "Okay, Lord, I would rather have your hand and your mantle upon my life than have my mantle, my hand, and my way of things being done. I want your will, and I want your glory more than anything else." That was hard for me to say because I knew in my heart the thing I really wanted to do was not what it seemed to be God wanted me to have done at that time. Now, I don't know whether any of you have followed along with some of the seminars of the Bill Gothard, and please, I'm not saying yay or nay against Bill Gothard seminars, but he had a principle in there concerning the birth of a vision, the death of a vision and the rebirth of the vision based on the life of Abraham. And what God did during those 10 years of my life is He put me in the work world, the place I really didn't want to go. And I remember in the first 3 years of my life, I'm telling you guys, I had a BA in Bible from Bob Jones University, and every time I'd go get a job, I'd go in. Now, who wants to hire somebody that's got a BA in Bible?
Hi, I've got a BA. So what did you go to school? I've got a BA in Bible. Oh. Well, currently, we're not hiring anybody in that position.
And then I know, you know, it got so bad, I'd go in for interviews, and I'd try to ham it out. I just said, BA from Bob Jones University.
Well, so what was your degree in, son?
What was that again? And I got so good at this, I'd actually go in, and at one time, I got so low, so discouraged. I went in and I said, I know what you're going to say to me. I'm either overqualified or underqualified, or you have no positions open. I don't even know why I'm in here. I'm just doing this. Thanks for the nice interview. Have a good day, and wish me luck. Goodbye. And I'm telling you, I couldn't find a job to feed my family. I was making bare minimum wage, and I was turning my head upward, and I was saying, God, why are you doing this to me? Why are you permitting this? I'm not even asking to do what I wanted to do. I just want to put bread and butter on the table. Well, about that time, a lady from New Zealand, one of the meetings in New Zealand, moved to our city. And she was one of these dear, dear, godly ladies that she could look at you in the eye. You know, there are some people that can look at your soul the minute they see your eyes, and you just feel,
you just go like that.
Well, this person had that ability. And she kind of sized me up as a little kid. And she said one day, she says, I'll say that, Mr. Heller. I said, you know what, and you know, I've said this to you before, but this is where I got this thing. I said that, Mr. Heller. I said, you know, your face looking rather long today, you know? Rather long. I says, what do you mean? She says, well, I said, you know, you have a long face. You don't look happy. And so, as a matter of fact, she says, you know, have you ever heard this old saying here in the States? She says, you know, your lips hanging so low, you could suck marbles out of the gopher hole. And she says, you know, dearie, she says, you need a verse. And I said, please don't quote to me Romans 8:28. I said, the next person that quotes that verse to me, I'm going to strangle them. And she says, no, dearie, you need Hebrews chapter 12, verse 11. And I said, you need the whole verse, but let's get it now, she said. And she started reading it. And she says, now no chastening seems to be joyful for the present. Uh-huh, right, that's where you are, right, uh-huh. Right, you agree? I said, man, you're right on. It is not fun. And she says, but painful, right, painful. And she was really, I mean, I almost felt like, boy, I'm in a court of inquiry here. She's just pulling it out of me. And she says, then what else does it say? And I says, well, but it yields a peaceable fruit of righteousness. Uh-huh. And I stopped there. She says, I see. You like everybody else. You stop right there. You stop right there. That's where most Christians stop. They don't finish the verse. But to them who have been trained by it, exercised by it. And she looked at me and she said, young man, you are sorry and sad and long of face, and you know things aren't going well for you, and you're longing for the righteous fruit of God to appear in your life. But she says, you're not exercised. You're not thinking. You're not evaluating God's Word in your life. You're not permitting the Holy Spirit to search you. And she looked at me and she said, son, she says, is there something in your life that you're holding on to? And I thought, what could I be holding on to? I'm willing to do anything. Anything. but sales work. And so one day, I was going through a grocery store. You know how they have these blowers on these sliding doors, and you have one door that's on the closest side and towards the grocery side, and then you have the other set of doors to the outside. And how one, you got these big air conditioners that are blowing, trying to keep that hot air out. So I was walking through with my grocery bags like this, and I walked through the first door and went like that, and I stepped on the mat, and I stopped, and it just dawned on me. I told the Lord I will not be in sales. And I said it audibly. I put my bags down, I said, that's it! And people were walking in and they were looking. And they wanted to know, what's it? But that was the thing I would not let go of. The moment I said, Lord, that's what you want, I don't want to do this, but if that's what you wish, I will do it. I had a job, the best job I ever had, in 3 days. One of the great values, folks, whether we're young or old, is we cannot do God's work our way. We have got to do God's work God's way if God is going to get the glory in it. Whether it's an external thing we wish to do, or it's something that God wishes to work within us so that we're equipped and ready for the furnace and the attacks that are going to come. One of the key components that we're often out of, and we need large baskets and bucket loads and resources of at the time that we needed, is patience. Isn't that interesting? Every time you're out of patience, that's exactly what you need. And what God does, it isn't that we sit around and do nothing, but there are times when God just does not open the door. And it's not that it's a dead time. Those are times to begin saying to the Lord, Lord, I don't understand what's going on. But even if there is no answer that comes through, the answer is that our hearts are being yielded up to the Lord. I remember the story so well of a man who was pacing back and forth in his room. And his wife came in and she looked at him and she says, honey, what's the matter? And he said, I'm in a hurry and God is not. I'm in a hurry and God is not. And when we look at the value and we look at the beauty of what God does, let me share with you some things that some other people have gone through that have built them. And you know, you can look and you can see that there will be different seasons in your life. Whatever it is that God gives you to do, sometimes He'll fan something up for you and it will be profitable for you and you'll sink your heart into it. And then there may come times when the death of that thing comes and you go to yourself and you say, Lord, what's happened? And the Lord may say, I wish now to retool you. I wish to train you. I wish to turn your heart in a different direction. And I wish to reveal another aspect of my glory to you that will round you out and make you a blessing to the heart of God, but will also make you a blessing to the people of God. The man who led D.L. Moody to the Lord said this. We know D.L. Moody. We don't think much of the man that led D.L. Moody to the Lord. His name was Henry Barley, and he said this. He said, it's wonderful to be nothing. Then you have nothing to lose. And the Lord Jesus is everything to you. And that is rest. You can have things. You can have opportunities in life. And the Lord allows those to be there. And we're not talking about, I mean, sometimes we hear these great statements and think, oh boy, I guess I got to be a monk and go off somewhere to Tibet and do this all of my life. But it's the thing that motivates us. It's the thing that has captured us. It's the thing that our hearts are in love with. And really, folks, it's not the thing. It's Him. It's Him. And this is the whole goal. Oftentimes, this poem has meant much to me. I'm not a poem reader. If you like poems, I'm certainly not disagreeing with your liking of poems. But this one poem has really meant more to me than all of the other poems I've ever read. The believer says, I see the stubborn heights, the bruising rocks, and the straining soul. Christ says, I see the goal. The believer says, I see the tearing plow, the crushing weight, and the beating rain. Christ says, I see the grain. The believer says, I see the compressing walls and the seething flux and the hearts untold. And Christ says, I see the gold. And the believer says, I see the cruel blows, the chisel sharp, and the hammer's mace. And Christ says, I see my face. And that's what we want. We want God's glory in our lives. We want that character. And it's not so much that it is so that we can get the character and do things. It is the revealing of God's glory and the revealing of His character that sets our hearts at peace. It energizes us. It gives us vision. It gives us perseverance. It gives us the ability to carry through and make full sense of the fruits of the Spirit that are given to us in Galatians 5. Because the believer who is in love with the Lord Jesus, they don't view the fruits of the Spirit in Galatians chapter 5 as items and entities to add to their life. They see them as qualities of the Lord Jesus Himself. And when they're in those areas of character development and qualities, it's actually an aspect of the Lord being formed in us, and there's fellowship with Him in that. And that's where our hearts are enriched. And that's where we are able to say to ourselves, it's not about me, it's about Him. It gives us the ability to lay down things in this life that maybe have strapped us down and hunkered us down. And we're able to say, you know, those things are temporary. We're only here for a brief period of time. And I can let it go because God is going to take care of it for me. And it doesn't mean some of us can't go out and do the things that we did when we were young. But we have the joy and the privilege to get in before the presence of God and uphold our young people who are coming through and the ones who have a vision and a passion for the things of God and mean business for the Lord. And we pray God's protection on them. And we pray as they interface within the local assembly, they will be girded up through the times when they're going to be broadsided and hit and discouraged, and they're able to get back up on their feet and see the Lord and move forward. But in all and above it all, the heart of God is being formed in the life of God's people, so that as we meet here Sunday, as God wills and allows, we all collectively come together, and the atmosphere of God's Spirit having dealt within our lives through the week is very real, and there's a fragrance that bursts forth and it comes up before the Father, and it's accepted because it's all about His beautiful Son, and we are the beneficiaries of precious remembrance and worship, and it fills the place in our hearts, say, He is Lord. And He's beautiful, and He's King. And I know that tomorrow, one day at a time, He'll give me the grace to get through. I want to go on, but I need to stop. I really want to go on. And I'll just trust the Lord that tomorrow night He'll let me finish this. But I tell you what, folks, I believe God wants to move. And when I say I believe He wants to move, I don't mean in the senses of knocking the walls down and things. I believe the primary moving is within us. The primary moving and the ache of the Holy Spirit of God is that we would be so imbued with and taken up with His glory that it renovates us from top to bottom. Our precious Father, we want to just pause at this moment, and we want to thank You that one precious promise from Your Word that hangs so precious over us tonight and is so available to each of us. And that's Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And Father, we know that there is nothing more important, nothing more central to what is going on in our lives than the relationship that you are seeking to cultivate. Father, it helps us to understand with freshness tonight the priority and the premium there is when you address the church at Ephesus. Return to your first love. And Lord, we just have to say, oh Lord, work in our hearts that we never leave you, that we never grow away from you, particularly in these days, that our hearts would be encouraged in you and deepened in you, our strength would be in you, and that you would allow us to persevere and go and do things for your glory that you would desire for us to do. And may we be excited that it starts deep within each of us in permitting the Holy Spirit to form the Lord Jesus Christ in our lives. Father, we thank you and we praise you in the Savior's wonderful name, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.